Okay, everybody, good morning and a good Yisroel Chag to those of you who are in Chutz Laretz. And meanwhile, we are holding on our new parak today, Ein Sadin. And we had just started the Mishnah because Richie got us moving, so we'll start again. Ha-mevika de-yayin mi-makom le-makom. Lo yevi-yem besalu be-kupa. Ava-mevihu al-ketefo o-lefanav. So as we've seen before, we have many gezeras that come in order to avoid us doing uvda dechol. So another uvda dechol besides business is transferring things, because it looks like you're moving, you're doing a lot of moving from place to place, you're bringing a lot of things, it looks like you're engaged in a moving job or into bringing things to the shuk or whatever it is. And therefore, if you're bringing a lot of things, you're bringing, let's say, pitchers of wine from one place to another, don't put a lot of them into a box, like you would have 12 Coke bottles in a big box as if you're bringing it, but you can bring them al ktefo. You can carry them, a couple of them, you know, on your shoulder, even if it's a lot of them, or in his hand, if enough, because there it's obvious that you're just bringing it to your house, for your table, things that you're going to need. V'chein hamolicha tateven, the same thing would be true if you're carrying straw. Now, it's not quite clear, carrying straw, whether this is dafka, according to the Mandi Amar, it says you're allowed to do the tzorech achila for your behema, or whether there may be cases where even if you're not supposed to do that, but where it's nogea, a hefset of your behema, it would be if it's going to die or something like that, so then it's not worse than other things that you do for yourself. That's already a bit of a question. But according to the Mandi Amar, that the lachem does not exclude Lola Klovim, so then it would simply mean you could bring it for your animal. If not, you could be transporting it for purposes of fuel. You can't put it the way you would normally carry it, which would be by carrying it in a big box on your back. And that looks like really, could you just mute yourself, Daniel? This looks like you're really doing a job, and therefore, you have to change it and do it with a shinui. So bring it biado, you bring it in your hand. And matchilin ba'arimat ha-tefen, another issue, is the question of muktzah, it appears to be. So it says over here, you're allowed to begin, if you have a pile of something that is normally kept inside of a place that it's muktzah, meaning muktzah, literally we call a muktzah a place, a storage room. So an arimata teven, which is not quite in a storage room, but you do keep it as a pile of fuel. So you'd be keeping it, it's this whole big pile of straw, and you did not say, I want to use it on Yanta, and I didn't necessarily think that I was going to use it, as we'll see in the Gemara, for burning, you're still allowed to use it, which implies that even without hachana, it would be mutter, and that the Tana does not hold of muktza. And then the very next words imply that the Tana does hold of muktza, because then it says, but you can't use wood of a lobe eitzim shebo muktza. That's what's literally in the back of your house. It's called a muktza, in places where you don't normally go into, and those are long-term storage areas, which is mash, but the Tana does tell the muktzah. So this is, of course, the question I was going to ask. Seems to be a steer. Tana, what about if there's no way for you to change? Basically, you've got an enormous party going on in Yontif. You've got like 100 people there in your house, and there's no possible way that you're going to get things there by carrying them one by one in front of you. So in that case, it's mutter. In other words, we did not answer it in a way that would prevent you from doing what you need to do for Yontif. Atkin Rava b'mechuza, and Rava made a takot in mechuza. That's something that normally you carry beduchka, you carry on your shoulder. So what you should do is lidro baragla. A ragla, I'm sorry guys, but I'm really going blind from this, I'm a migraine. So I may be a little bit unclear. So what this literally means is like a pitchfork, Rashi says, is an eter. However, Rashi explains elsewhere that this isn't a real pitchfork that you put over your shoulder. It's basically this kind of device that you use that it makes you into a pitchfork in a sense. So it's a long piece of wood that then separates into the normal tines of the pitchfork, and it's got a place for your head to go in. As you put your head in it, it sits on your back in two parts and sticks out all the way down so that when you bend your back, you've got basically, you've turned yourself into a pitchfork. And then you could put two things, one on one side and one on the other side that are hanging off of the, so to speak, the fork of the pitchfork, which is really on your shoulder. So that is something that Rashi says makes it easier to carry. Plus, it's not the normal way to carry the things that you'd be carrying. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says it does not make it easier. But even if it doesn't make it easier, it's still, because it's a shinoi, it's kedai to do it with the shinoi. That's how Tosfos argues a little bit with Rashi on this. Something that you normally carry, the daruba agra, the daruba agra, so if you normally carry it with that, so then you can carry it with an agra, which is basically the pole that two people carry, and that would be make it easier to carry if you normally would carry it like that. This is how Rashi, but it's, by the way, the Gra learns it a little bit differently. But the idea is that shinui is mutter, and Rashi holds a shinui, even if it doesn't make it easier, is still at least a shinui. And Tosfos learns a shinui, even if it makes it more difficult, is at times kedai to make the shinui. So if daro ba'achva, if it was something that you carry on a pole, then if it's daro ba'achva, so then what you should do is at least put something over it. Nifra sidra eluya, so it doesn't seem to be the way you're doing it during the week, and people will see you're trying to be tzanua with it, and therefore it's better. But if there's nothing else to do, in lo efsha, then it's mutter. Because after all, we said that if there's no way to do it differently, we were not ma'akev, your simchas yontev, by telling you that you can't get yourself moved into your house. Look, the general rule is what you can do with a shinui, you should do with a shinui. That you do mishanina biyomatav. So let me ask you something. I noticed that the women, I mean, everybody around here, Hani Nashi, to call Ma'oyan, Chatzbaya Maya Biyumetava. People go down to the river, to the well, and they fill up like these very large buckets, and they carry it normally, and Veloko Mishanina, Velo Amino Velo Mide. I never saw anybody tell their wives, you're not allowed to bring the water, or you should do it a little bit differently. Why is that? Omar Leis Ravashi said to him, what are you supposed to do? How should they be Mishanina? Hey, beloved, what would you tell them to do? Demaya b'chatzba rabba, demali b'chatzba zuta. Do you want a woman who uses normally a large bucket? Should she now start using a smaller bucket? So then she's going to have to go back and forth more often, right? So komavsha b'ilucha. So then that's not a very good shinui because it makes even a bigger fuss. Are you going to tell her that if she usually uses a small bucket because she's not strong, she should use a large bucket? So then you're making life more difficult. It's going to be very hard for her to carry such a heavy bucket. If you want to tell her, well, at least cover it up with some kind of cover so that it'll look like you're not doing it the way you normally do it. Zinden the nafel. Sometimes it will fall. Now, this next piece, the Gra takes out because it doesn't really make much sense. So forget about the Atilat Tuye, because it's not the problem on Yantav Atilat Tuye. So therefore, since Zimnen the Nafel, since it might fall off, it needs to be tied on, right? So it's going to be tied. But if it's tied, Zimnen the Mifsik, what happens if it becomes untied and falls off? So then what will she do? She'll pick it up, but she'll retie it. But if you tie it, that's Mamash Malacha, and that it would be a Mamash Chiyav D'Oraisa. If she ties it. So it's better not to get involved in something that could lead her to be over on a nisser. If you're going to tell her, okay, so at least take a towel and put a towel over it. So is that your answer? What would happen if it falls into the water, the towel? So that she'll take the towel and then she'll squeeze it out. And if she squeezes it out, so then she's going to be over on Libun. So there's nothing to do. Yokoch loefsha. So therefore, there's nothing much that she can do to make a shinui. Because of that, we don't tell her to make a shinui. Didn't we learn that you're not allowed to clap your hands, you're not allowed to bang against your thigh with your hand, you're not allowed to go dancing, not on Yom Tov, and not on Shabbos. But we see people actually do this on jobs. We see people running around dancing and stuff like that. And nobody tells them anything. Did you ever see anybody tell people it's also to do it? So how does that happen? I mean, what, does a halacha go out of style? I mean, like, what happens with these things? All my life, Sabaya said to him, let me ask you something. Latimech, do you consider this to be a problem? There's other things. Forget about the, you know, these kind of issues. There's problems that mamish can bring someone to an issue deraisa. Like Rava said, a person should be careful not to sit. A person should not sit at the end of a mavli. Because if something will fall from his lap, so let's say he's reading a book or something, and it'll fall from his lap. So it'll fall into the Rishus HaRabim, and he won't realize that he's really in a Rishus HaYochid, D'Oraisa, and that now he's going to carry, if he goes and picks up his book and brings it back in, he's going to bring it into a Rishus HaYochid for a Rishus HaRabim. He doesn't realize it because it isn't that nicker when you're standing right at the edge. If you're standing inside the Mavli, so then fine. You realize that that's a Mavli, and outside it's Rishus HaRabim. But when you put your rocking chair right at the end, and you're sitting around, and you just lose concentration, so you may very well carry it back in. You'll bring it in from Rosh Hashanah. And yet we see that there are these women, and they sit at the edge, they take their coffee out there, you know, they sit at the edge of a mavli. I never saw anybody tell them, madam, you're not allowed to sit there. Why is that? Must be that if, this is in a very important halakha l'maaseh, that if you're talking about something that you know people will not listen to you, so then it's better for people who you are 100% sure are not going to be listening, because everybody's convinced that this, everybody does this. Well, you're some kind of religious nut. You're telling me I'm not allowed to sit at the edge. It's ridiculous. Whoever heard of that? My grandma used to do this. It was the same thing. You try to tell people, you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. What are you crazy you're talking about? We always carried on Shabbos. You know, they have no idea what's an Erev, what's this. So something that nobody is going to listen to you, it's better not to tell them. Because it's mutiv shogegim v'lo yomezidim. It's better for them to do it b'shogeg rather than to do it b'mezid. And therefore, Achanani, the same thing as Shulvinger. You see people dancing on Yontif or clapping their hands on Yontif for Shabbos. It's the same idea. They're never going to listen to you because they consider this to be Heter Gomer. And therefore, Mutav Shushoigigin, Velo Yumezinim. However, Hani Mile Bidarabonah. This is only on these things that we were talking about, which are Xeris de Rabbonim of Ein Meraktim. So the reason that we don't do those kind of things, clapping and so on, is because we're afraid that you're going to end up being mitaken klei shir. So you may end up using musical instruments. When we say mitaken, it doesn't necessarily mean to fix one that broke. Being mitaken, that you'll actually make one. Now, Tosfos is an amazing Tosfos over here who says that nowadays that we're not bekiyim in making klei shir. Only professionals will make a klei shir. So we don't have the type of klei shir that we just sort of people are used to just making at home in order to make music. So because of that, for us, it's not a gezerah. It's an amazing idea that since there's no chashash, so therefore we're mevatel the gezerah. But anyway, this is what Tosfos says. And the Ramah actually brings this as part of the reasons to be mako for people who do go around clapping and dancing and so on Shabbos. So he says, first of all, he brings this Gemara. First of all, Hanachlem Yisrael, because nobody's going to listen to you. So Mutif Yushaygigin. Plus, he brings that there are those who say, meaning this sheet is a Tosfos, that Bizman Hazeh, we don't have the Gezer of Shem Yitaken Klishir. Now, it's important to distinguish between two different halachas. One is the Shem Yitaken Klishir, where you are not using a Klishir. So in other words, you're just using your body, you know, or you're banging your hand on a table, or you're knocking on a door, something like that. So over there, where you're not actually using a klishir, I shouldn't have said the bang, I meant bang on the door with your hand. So over there, the chashash that Tosfos is talking about, which is maybe you'll actually make klishir, we don't have because Bizman Hazeh, he says, people do not have the necessarily the necessary knowledge to be able to do that. But what about actually playing a klishir? Let's say blowing a whistle or literally playing music. That, the many Rishonim bring that there are other Isurim that are involved in that, because there's an inyan of molid kol. And being molid is, as we saw before, there's some who use that issue of molid, we have by molid recha, that may be the Isur of using electrical appliances, many learn on Shabbos. In any event, so there is definitely a difference that even those who are mako are not mako in actually using a musical instrument. Okay, so this
Rebbe? Rebbe would sit on the side, right? So we see Rebbe's profile instead of Rebbe suffering, looking straight in. Would that be helpful
to you or to me?
Don't look into the light just for us.
I'm not looking into anything. My eyes are closed, basically. Yeah, it's awful, really awful, out of nowhere. Okay, but anyway, so this is Davka, says the Gemara. Now, Hani Mili Bidirabon, Avo Bidiraisa Lo. Vologi, and this is not really true. I'll prove to you that it's true even under Diraisa. Because Loshna Diraisa, Veloshna Dirabana. Because we still never say anything to them. Lo Amrinu Velo Midi. Why? Because, look, isn't Tosfos Yom HaKippurim, the fact that you need to stop eating before Mamish Shkia, right? So you have Mechuyev to stop before. And that we learn out of a Pasuk, don't we? We learn that out of the Pasuk that says, Mitisha B'chodesh Be'erev. And that there's a din of Tosefet. Even on Tashi'i, there's a little bit of Tashi'i, which is part of Yom Kippur. And yet, we see that there are people that sit around until the last minute, even though it's a deraisa. Achlu v'shasu atchech hashecha. V'lo amrin alu v'lo midi. We don't say anything to them. So apparently, even if it's nogea halacha deraisa, we do not give this tochacha if we're 100% sure that they're not going to listen. So now, the Rishonim are mechalik between things that people know are deraisa. In other words, let's say, if something is a beferish pasuk, everybody knows this, that's something else. So then you should be mochiach. In other words, the whole idea over here of not being mochiach, where anyway they're not going to listen, you're 100% sure they're not going to listen, so that's dafka where they're not doing something b'shat nefesh, and they know that they're doing an isser, and they're not going to believe you that they're doing an isser, so you don't tell them that they're doing an isser. Because then it's better that they shouldn't start worrying, maybe I really am, and then they just push it off, you know? So it's better that they shouldn't even worry about it, because at least that way it's a complete shogeg. But if they really know, and everybody knows this, so then there's no such din. You're supposed to be meicha, because that's part of the etzem chiyav of tochacha. Now, lemaisa, as the Mishnah Berurah brings, I mean, in a case where you're talking about people who have thrown off of themselves the entire old Torah, and they're a minim, or they're in a matzav where they push it, don't believe. So then there is no chiyav of tochacha because they're not included in ochiach tochiach as amitecha, because they're not called amitecha bichlal. They're not part of your world and your klal Yisrael, in terms of their belief in Torah or Ne'emanus to Torah. So that's a different issue. But this is a very, very nogea thing, because oftentimes you have things that people are not aware of are usur, and they may be even isur in the araisa, and you know perfectly well they're not going to listen to a word. So because of that, it's not kedai to be mochiach if they'll be more shugging. Okay, now let's move on to the next sukkah. Matchilim ba'arimat ha-tevet. So the Mishnah said that even though this pile of straw had not been miyuchot for your use for fuel, or according to those shittas who hold you're allowed to carry for the ma'achal behema, it were not miyuchot for ma'achal behema, that you're still allowed. Okay, so what does that mean? It means, obviously, Zomer of Kanazot Omeret, Matchilim ba'otzar techila. So it's telling me that if something was stored, was not meant to be used necessarily for Yontev, and you hadn't said you're going to use it for Yontev, you're still allowed to start it. So who's that going according to? That's going on Libet Rebbe Shimon, who doesn't hold a muktza, and you do not need to have your mind on it from before. So then let me ask you how to explain the next line. The next line says, Avalo Beitzim Shimon Muktza, you're not allowed to start burning wood that was in your storage shed that you had not been miyachid for yontif. Why are you not? That's going like Rabbi Yehuda, who does hold of muktzah. So, I mean, how does the Mishnah contradict itself? Answers the Gemara. What we could say is that the end of the Mishnah, it says, not Eitzim Sheba Muktzah. That's talking about Arze Ve'ashuche Askina. So that's male and female cedar, which is very expensive wood. And that's used for like paneling and stuff like that. You're going to use that as building material. That's Muktzah Ma'achas Chisorin Kis. That's because even Rabbi Shimon, remember, was made of that when you set something aside, because you bedafka don't want to use it. Rabbi Shimon agrees there's a concept of muktzah. He just doesn't hold that there is such a thing as something becoming muktzah on its own. But if you set it aside, of course that's muktzah. I feel I'll leave the Rabbi Shimon, as we explained in the Sechet Shabbos. Others learn that what Rav Kahana said was like this. Ikad amasar ha-seifa. It says over here that you're not allowed to use wood that was in a muktzah. And it starts, Rav Kahana's diuk started, according to this version, on that piece. Rav Kahana said, well, if you take a look at the seifa of the Mishnah, Zotomeret, so it's coming to tell you that Ein Matchilim Bo'atzer Tchila. So apparently the Tana holds something that was set aside cannot be used on Yontav, which means it's going Aliba, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, the Yisle Muktzah, right? So now how do you explain in this version, he went back to the Reisha, he says, how do you explain the Reisha? The Reisha says that you are allowed to be Matchil, and that's going according to Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't hold muktzah, so make up your mind. And in this version, Rav Kahana changes the beginning of the Mishnah, so that even in the beginning of the Mishnah, it could work out a libet of Rabbi Yehuda, instead of saying even the end of the Mishnah could work out a libet of Rabbi Shimon. So in this version, it goes like this, that the beginning of the Mishnah was talking about Tivna Saria. It was talking about, it was like smelly straw already that was starting to rot, and it like, you know, it smelled like mildew, and therefore you can't use it for your behemoth. So once it has no purpose at all except burning, so then it must be that its purpose is burning, and that's not for the otzar. And therefore, it's not considered to be muktzah, even aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. Wait a second, says the Gemara, why not? Even if it's rotting, it's still perfectly used for cement making. So why do you say it's not usable? On the contrary, you would store it in order to be able to put into your cement mixer, which is done by hand, obviously, in those days, which is important to note, as we'll see in a moment, and you're going to use it for making mortar, right? So it should be muktzah according to Rabbi Yehuda? No. What it's talking about is it's not only Tivna Saria. It's Tivna Saria, but it also has thorns in it. So since it's very sharp, you cannot mix it with your hands, and therefore you will not make cement with it. And therefore, if you feel Rabbi Yehuda, it is by definition considered to be miyuchad for the burning. And now have we got our Richie back? Richie, you're muted. There we go.
Now I just unmuted, yeah.
Ein notlim etzim min asukah, ela min asomuchla. So, you're not allowed, it's not talking about a sukkah of sukkahs. It's talking about somebody who's got a little hut that he sits in his backyard or he sits in a garden, and it's talking about not sukkahs. Could be talking about Pesach or Shavuos, but not sukkahs. Because we'll see that we've got another problem on sukkahs, of course, which we know is the muktzah for tzarech mitzvah. Okay, that's something else. So we're talking about the question over here of the problem of stira. Now, if you have things on top of the roof of a sukkah, then by definition, whatever's on the roof is part of the roof. It doesn't have to, because what you do over there is you just throw branches on it, and that becomes the roof of the sukkah, right? You don't, like, build it. So, therefore, anything that you would be taking off of it would be stira, because you're making the roof less thick, and that itself is a stira. So you cannot take it off from the top of this, let's call it a hut instead of a sukkah, so we shouldn't get confused, especially having just finished Chag HaSukkos, we shouldn't be confused that we're talking about our sukkah. But if you've got something next to it, then you could. So ask the Gemara, what do you mean next to it? I mean, next to it would mean that you've got a wall, right? And then you've got other pieces that are up against the wall, wood up against the wall. So if you're at, if you're taking down branches that were on the roof of the sukkah, and you're calling that stira, so isn't it the same thing if you've got wood that are lying against the wall of this hut, that that should be stira also, no? So how come you're not allowed to take things down off of the sukkah because you would be over on stira? That's an issur d'oraisa. Isn't minas samuch lo nami kasatar alar, you're taking down the things that you are put next to it. Isn't that also tearing it apart? So it should be exactly the same. No. The first samuch, which you thought meant is next to the top, meaning that it's on top of the top. There's a difference. I've jumped ahead. I'm sorry. As I say, I'm suffering. So I jumped ahead a little. The Gemara's first kasha assumed that samuch means samuch to the top, and it wasn't actually built into the top. It was next to the top. So when it says samuch, answers the Gemara, it means samuch is mutter when it's next to the wall, next to the, not next to the roof. And Rabbi Nasha, so what we're talking about over here is that if pieces are standing up, leaning against the wall, they're not part of the wall. Because a wall is only where it's actually connected to the wall. Either it's woven into the wall, it's nailed into the wall. So therefore, it wouldn't be soiser. Masha Einkein, where you have something on the roof, if it's put on the roof, it's by definition part of the roof. Because what makes it part of the roof of a sukkah? Just the fact that it was thrown there. Rabbi Nasha says you don't have to make the difference between the necessarily the wall and the roof. It could be even on the roof. How would you have somech to the roof that's not part of the roof if it was in a bundle? So let's say what the Mishnah meant was you're not allowed to take something off of the roof. But suppose you had a pile of twigs that were tied up with string. And you had like five of these things on top of this hut. And the hut itself is covered with schach. So now the stuff that you put on top that you did not untie is clearly not part of the roof. It's next to the roof, and it could be used for the roof if you untie it, but that could mean even if it's somuch to the sukkah, as long as we're talking about kitanyagi bi'isuriyata, we're talking about where you've got bundles. So over there, they're just being stored on the roof, but they're not really part of the roof. And therefore, it would not be called seiser. Tanya Rebbe Chiya Bar Yosef, Kameh de Rebbe Yochanan, Einot li netzim min asukah min asum muchla. You can't take down wood from this hut. Again, it's not referring to a sukkah zachag. You could only take it from what's next to it. But everybody, Rebbe Shimon is matir. And Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter to do so, as we'll see. But everybody agrees that if you're talking about Sukkot HaChag, you're talking about a real yontif on Sukkot, that then for sure you're not allowed to take something off of it, even if there wouldn't be an iser of stira, because it's usser because of the iser of muktzah, as we'll see in a moment, that we learn out from the hekesh of the Chagiga to the Sukkot. And there everybody's minded that it's usur, unless you made a t'nai. And again, we'll see in a moment what that t'nai would be. Now, let's go back. What do you mean Rabbi Shimon is matir? How could Rabbi Shimon be matir stira? That doesn't make any sense. Rabbi Shimon matir? If you're taking something off of a roof of a hut, then you're being over on stira. Amrav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, remember Sukkah's David HaNefales. We're talking about a Sukkah HaNefales. But it's not Sukkah. It's not on Sukkah. So we're talking about the Sukkah that collapsed on Yontif. So Rabbi Shimon is going L'shitase. Since it collapsed, and there's no din of Stira, and again, we're not talking about Sukkah's Achag. We're talking about Yontif, Pesach, Shavuos. And you were sitting outside in this nice little hut having a good time, and it collapsed. So are you allowed to take the stuff off of it to burn it? So Rabbi Shimon is going with Shitasa because Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold a muktzah, right? Because remember, like the classic case was when your lamp goes out on Shabbos, and now you've got lots of leftover oil in that lamp. Rabbi Shimon is matir. So motar Hashem and Shebaner, So that means even though it was usher at the beginning of Shabbos or at the beginning of Yontif, it doesn't remain usher because Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold a muktzah. So just because it was usher before, where you could not have torn it down because of Saiser, if it fell down itself, so then it becomes mutter. So according to Rabbi Shimon, that explains why Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter. Not that you were Saiser it, it was Saiser itself, and it collapsed. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. That's not the same. I mean, if you have a burning flame, so Rabbi Shimon says, listen, you know that the flame only burns, let's say, for an hour, or for 3 hours, whatever it is. So then you're waiting for it to go out, and then you will have oil that will be available for you to use in your salad. So, hatam adam yoshevu mitzapeh, ematich benero. Yes, the person is aware of the fact that it's going to go out. So he's waiting for it to go out, and Rabbi Shimon does all the muktzah. He's not going to tell you the whole muktzah, bein hashmoshes, it's muktzah for the whole day. So because of that, it's fine. But you're going to tell me that Rabbi Shimon holds that a hut that you're sitting in, you're sitting and waiting for it to collapse so that you can burn the wood. I mean, that's ridiculous. Well, you're waiting for, okay, when's the house going to fall down so I can have firewood? That's a little ridiculous. So even Rabbi Shimon would agree that it's considered to be muktzah. So why does he say that if it falls down, it's considered to be mutter? Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, what we're talking about over here is a sukkah that is in bad shape. So it looks like it's barely holding up. There's a wind out there. It's creaking. And indeed, the guy is thinking, oh my God, I don't think that we're going to be able to get much use out of this sukkah, this Pesach. And indeed, he was indeed thinking, you know what? There's a very good chance this thing is going to collapse by tomorrow morning. And so in that case, according to Rabbi Shimon, it would be okay to use the wood. Fine. So now let's figure out the last piece. The Sefer the Brita said, but if you're talking about a sukkah during sukkahs, then everybody agrees that for sure it's usher during sukkahs. But if you made a t'nai, which doesn't make sense, I can make a t'nai, we'll talk about that in a moment. If you made a t'nai and you said, well, I'm building this sukkah in order to be able to burn it, I mean, is that going to help? It says over here, kol lefi t'nai. Ask the Gemara, I understand. A sukkah is usher because it has a din of kedusha. So how is a t'nai help? V'yimihani b'tnai, v'om rev sheshish b'shum Rabbi Akiva. How do we know that the wood that you used in your sukkah is usher the entire yontif? Sh'ne'emar chag asukot shivat yamim la'Hashem. V'tanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Peteira omer. The word la'Hashem means that b'nayin kishem shechal shem shamayim ala chagiga. In the same way that we have the shem shamayim, meaning that it's hegdash, and that is true about the chagiga, the korban chagiga, the same thing is true about the sukkah, as a din of kedusha. Talmud lomar chag asukot shivat yamim la'Hashem, chag la'Hashem. So it's basically comparing the chag, the chagiga, to the sukkahs. Just like the chag is la'Hashem, so too is the sukkah la'Hashem. In which case, it's mukdash for its mitzvah. So how can you make a t'nai to take off kedusha? There's no such thing. So what do you mean hakol lefi t'nai? Omer of Menashe Berei Derava, you're making a mistake. You thought that the last piece of the Mishnah was referring back to the piece about the Sukkah Sachag. No, it's not. There were completely different issues here. Everybody's made a Sukkah Sachag is awesome. Now, going back to the first part, which we were talking about a regular Sukkah, this last part about a T'nai, Seifa Ata'an L'Sukkah D'Alma. So the last part was going back to the beginning of the Braita, where we had a machlokas about whether a normal hut that collapses is muktzah. So the t'nai would be that if the owner says beferish, look, it seems to me that this thing is about to collapse. If it does, I want to use it. And that would be true afilo alibid Reb Yehuda. How could it be true afilo alibid Reb Yehuda if there's an iser seiser? So then it would be muktzah machmas iser. So how can you make a t'nai to take off muktzah machmas iser? So a number of different approaches in the poskim about how that would work. So the simplest approach is that since it's a sukkah ru'ua, that there anyway wouldn't be a din of seiser because it's considered to be mustar v'omedes because it's about to collapse. And therefore there's no iser of seiser. So memela, if you make that tnai and you say, I'm aware of the fact that it's going to collapse, and if it does, I want to use it. So then that would be mayo, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, because it was never mukta mida'atcha. So therefore, the sukkah, the mitzvah, you're right. A sukkah and a mitzvah, you can't make a tnai. The last part of the Mishnah was not talking about the sukkah and a mitzvah. It was going back to talk about the sukkah in the Reisha. So therefore, you're right about that. Am I right? You're telling me sukkah and a mitzvah lo? That indeed there is no way to make a tnai on a sukkah of the mitzvah? V'atanya, it says beferish, that if a person covered your sukkah, lahalach, and then he went ahead and he decorated it. So he put up kramim or sadinim amitsuyarim. So he put up these beautiful sheets or embroidered things with colors or white sheets. Or he hung up egozim or shkedim or afarsakim or rimonim. Or he had grape clusters the way that people do the shivas haminim. You hang it down, you took bottles, you filled it up with wine, you filled it up with oil, you hung it down from the top of the sukkah. Or you had atarot shibolim, you made the shivas haminim of the minei dagon, also of chamisha minei dagon. All of those things cannot be used at all during yontem. Also, listapek mihem, not only during the shivas yimei achag, you're not allowed to use them until after Shmini Atzeres, because since they were hooked to Bein HaShmoshes, they remain osir on Shmini Atzeres as well. Ad Matzah Yom Tov Acharon Shel Chag. And here, it says, Ve'im Hitzna Aleyem. So even though we're talking about the things that were Muktzah Machmas Mitzvah, it says that if you made a Tanai, that it helps. That HaKol Afi Tanao. And you're telling me, no, it doesn't help. So now I'm really confused. We worked out that the Mishnah is not referring to making a tanai on a sukkah shochag. And now it turns out you actually could have made a tanai on a sukkah shochag. So what kind of tanai? I thought you agreed with me. How could you possibly make a tanai to remove the din of Kedusha? It makes no sense. So how do you explain it? Abaye v'rova d'armer tarvayu. It doesn't mean a tanai in which you're saying, I'm building this on condition that it doesn't become a hukdash la mitzvah? You can't make a tanai like that. It's a din in the Torah that it becomes hukdash la mitzvah. But what it means is that when you put up, let's say you put up a cluster of grapes, right? Or you put up a bottle of wine hanging from the top of the sukkah. So when you put it up, you said, look, I'm not really sure that I'm not going to need this for the meal, you know? So depending on whether I see I need it or not, that'll decide whether it's going to be part of the sukkah. But I'm definitely keeping my options open, and any bodel me'am kol bein hashmoshes, during the entire period in which it defines the status for the whole yontev, which remember, that is what? Hoel v'yizkatzoy lebein hashmoshes, yizkatzoy lekol hayom, in which case it would be yizkatzoy lekol achag. But he says, but I'm not ready to commit to making this part of the sukkah. And listen, it's still Bein HaShmoshes. I can still change my mind. So basically, until the night, it wasn't Muksa, because he's saying, I'm not being miyachidit for the sukkah. It doesn't mean I'm saying on condition. It's just he's keeping his options open. So therefore, the Kedusha was not Chal Bein HaShmoshes. Now, there's some who learn, by the way, that that's all very nice, that the Kedusha is not Chal during the first Bein HaShmoshes. But the next Bein HaShmoshes, where he no longer is keeping his options open, so then already from the end of the first day, it would be usher because of the Muktzah Machmas Mitzvah. Others learn that since he said Kol Bein HaShmoshes, what he really was addressing was the entire time. Each of the days, as long as I have my options open, I'm not committing myself. So over here, that's true about the decorations of the sukkah. What we said is that everybody's made that the actual wood of the sukkah over there, for sure, once Chol HaKedusha Alayu, that there, Atse Sukkah, Itkatsoy L'Shiva. So that is just, I have a right to say, I'm not going to leave the wine up here, but you can't say I may decide to take apart my sukkah on Yontif. Obviously, that you can't do because you're not able to do that because of stira anyway. So therefore, once the sukkah was built, and it is a sukkah, and it's up Ben Hashmashas, there would be no way to be matir using its wood. That's what we meant. There is no way to make a Tanai. So a regular Tanai you cannot make even for the decorations of the sukkah. But the special meaning of Tanai, meaning any bodel mehem ko Ben Hashmashas, that could not be made on the Atzei HaSukkah, but it could be made for the decorations of the sukkah. So the Atzei HaSukkah for sure are going to remain also the whole time. So why do we have the halacha that we had before, which we learned in sukkah, if a guy takes seven different esrogim, and he sets aside one esrog per day, and he wants to use a different esrog every single day. And it says over there that Rav said when he's yotzei his mitzvah every single day with that esrog, he can then eat it. So he's orchloli alter. Rav Asi says, you can eat it, but not on the same day. You can eat it on the next day. Because once it was already the muktza for today's esrog, it remains also for the entire day's esrog. That's a different issue. Whether the concept of setting something aside for the mitzvah is only until the asiyas ha-mitzvah, or it's setting aside for the day of the mitzvah. So how come everybody says that if you set aside another esrog, that you can actually eat that esrog? So why is that different from making a tanai and saying, I only want this esrog? Basically what I'm saying is, I only want this esrog for today. Why can't you say the same thing about the sukkah? So I only want the wood of the sukkah to be kadosh for the first day. Nah, there's a big difference. Because Benogea, the Esrog, remember, every single day is indeed a different mitzvah of Esrog, because the mitzvah of the Lula is Dafka Biyom. You can't be Yotze at the night. And therefore, each day is indeed a separate mitzvah. So awesome, the Mifsiko Leilot Miyamim Ko Chad V'Chad Yuma Mitzvah Bapi Nafshehu. Every single day is a separate mitzvah. And therefore, Enochinami, it wasn't miyuchad for all 7 days. But over here, Hakadolo Mifsiku Leilot Miyamim, over here, Benogea, the Sukkah, the Atzei HaSukkah itself, there you have exactly the same chiyuv at night. It's one of your biggest chiyuvim is to sleep there at night. So there's no separation at all between the day and the night. And therefore, Kulayuma Kachadiyuma Richta, Dami, all of the days are considered to be one long day. Once it was huktzah lebein hashmashas, it would be huktzah for the entire 7 days.